Today on Real Radio.
Who's the first and the last? We already know it's the Lord God, the Almighty. The beginning and the end. The Alpha and the Omega. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know Him who is true. And we are in Him who is true, in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. That's pretty clear. 1 Timothy 3:16. That God was revealed in the flesh and seen by angels, received back up into glory. Titus 2:13. That we are to be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. John 8:58. Are you okay? Are you with me?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days are freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his new series through the book of Revelation. The book sometimes goes under different names like the Apocalypse and the Revelation of John. Well, actually, it should be the Revelation to John and of Jesus Christ. And so our teacher has called this very first study, which looks at the first three verses, Jesus Christ Unveiled. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
I think maybe perhaps if we look at the Bible and then some of our worship, I scarcely think it's even worship. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying run around the sanctuary and act like a nut. You'll be thrown out. In the Lord. We love you, but we don't want you distracting anybody. But you know what? If you stand and you worship, you lift your hands up, you know what? Maybe that's just a forerunner of where we're going, you know? But I can't wait to get there, because out of the deep, deep recesses of my heart, I'm going to get to worship the way I want to worship before God without any inhibitions whatsoever. In other words, if I want to cry before the throne of God, I take it I'm going to cry for joy before the throne of God. If I show up there and I see angels saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, I have a suspicion that that's going to affect me. Again, I'm not saying be a lunatic. But I am saying, you know what? Maybe we hold the reins of worship a little too tight. Well, we know this. It's the will of John. It's John's will that Jesus be made known. It says that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God made known to, look, Jesus, then to his servants. Who are the servants? Well, we know that it's the angels. And look what it says, to his servant John. John. And that's exactly what we see John doing. In 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. John is making mention of Jesus Christ. In John's Gospel, for example, John's Gospel, chapter 1, John says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, He was in the beginning. By the way, that is the time of the physical universe, the beginning of the physical universe. He was in the beginning with God. Verse 14, chapter 1 says, and the Word, remember the Word was God, it said, became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John goes into a worshipful accolade of Christ. John's the only apostle that died of old age. Did you know that? Out of all the other apostles of the Lord, they died under persecution. John, the author of this book, is the only guy who died as an old man. He lived under the Roman emperors of Nero and Domitian. Great persecution had broken out. According to church history, listen to this. John was persecuted, persecuted, persecuted. He was the last remaining apostle. The Roman government wanted him dead. The Christian church was growing with greater persecution. So you know what they did? They took John and they cooked up a good batch of hot oil. And they took John, he was an old man, somewhere around 90 years of age, and they dropped him in the vat of oil. And the only problem is, nothing happened. And they took him out, and according to church history, the Roman government was so furious that they exiled him to the island of Patmos in the Greek Isles. Desolate, barren place. And it was there he was to die. It was while he was alone, God gave him this great book of Revelation. Why do I say that? Because John's confessing here something very fantastic. After all the persecution, listen, and all the friends he lost in the faith, he never quit. He never gave up. He never said, you know what, time out. I know you killed all my buddies, all of my discipleship friends. I'm an old guy now. Let me rest in peace. I tell you what, the whole thing, we concocted the whole story about Jesus, okay? Just back off. It was all a joke. He didn't. He couldn't lie against the truth. It consumed his life. It was real. The awesome fact of the matter is, the Bible says that, here in verse 1, look at it with me. It says that the message was delivered to the angel and to John. In verse 2, it says, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ regarding all things that he saw. As John is revealing this, God is showing these grand things of the future. And it's John's will that we know. So how do you know that? I can read it right here, Pastor, that John is the last one to receive it. But how do you know? Because as we get into this study in the future, you're going to see that these letters were written to the church. And for that matter, maybe more tangible for us right now, is what is it you're holding in your hand? What is it on your lap? This always gives me a charge. You don't have Reader's Digest on your lap right now. You're not doing a crossword puzzle. If you are, shame on you. You have a Bible open. Don't you think it's pretty fantastic that John's desire, his will, was in exact harmony with that of the Father, with the Son, with heaven, the angelic host? What is it? You have a Bible open on your lap right now. 2,000 years after the authorship of the Bible. What do you have open on your lap? The Bible. Doesn't that grab you? Well, it's just tradition. Oh, you hang on. You come back every Sunday, you'll see some interesting thing about tradition. Number two, verse two, point number two, the revelation of Jesus Christ is by the book. It's by the book. It's John who, verse two says, who bore witness to the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and to all things that he saw. Number one, quickly, the Old Testament confirmed the coming of Christ. John is saying this, I bear witness to the word of God. What is John saying? It's a courtroom term, everyone. He's saying like this. I put my hand on the Bible. I raise my right hand, and this is what I say. I'm telling you, I am bearing witness that what I'm teaching or telling or saying to you in this book, John says, is in accordance to the Old Testament scriptures. John is provoking you and I to find out if the Old Testament scriptures confirm this. That's what he's saying. He's saying, listen here. I've looked into the Old Testament. I've searched every clue. I've picked up on every lead. I've gone through the entire Old Testament, and I'm telling you that what this book is about is in direct correlation and agreement with the Old Testament scriptures, and this is the witness. It's about Jesus Christ. The Old Testament confirms the ministry of Christ and the book of Revelation. Not only that, the New Testament confirms it. He says that he bears witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. What's John saying? He's saying, I watched Jesus for 3.5 years with my own eyes. I, John, bear witness to you, church, that the things that I'm reporting to you, I heard them, I saw them, it's a fact. In other words, John is saying, you take this book into court, you get the attorneys, you get the lawyers, you get the jury, and I'm telling you right now, you go through the evidence and you'll be overwhelmed. The fact is that this is a revelation of Jesus Christ unveiled, and it's according to the book, Old Testament, New Testament. But listen, most importantly, it's the harmony of the Bible, all found right here. This book's about Christ. Old Testament, New Testament speaks about Christ and who he is. How so? Listen up, write small. Isaiah chapter 48, verse 12. Listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first. I am also the last. That's God. Isaiah 44, 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. That's the Lord. That's God. Isaiah 41, 4. Who has performed and done these things, calling the generations from the beginning? It is I, the Lord. I am the first and I am with the last. I am he. That's God. There's only one first and last. He says it's the Lord. There's no other. Revelation, New Testament. Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega. That is the Greek first letter and last letter of the alphabet. I am the beginning and the end in Hebrew. I'm in Genesis and I'm in Revelation all the way through, saith the Lord, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. Anybody guess who that might be? It's God, the Lord. The first and the last is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Almighty. Old Testament to New. Revelation 4:8. You heard it a moment ago. The four living creatures, each having six wings, full of eyes around and within, they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. There's only one Almighty. Who was, who is to come. That's God. Revelation 1:11. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches. That's the Lord. Revelation 21:6. And he said to me, it is done, finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Anybody have any need of any explanation about who this might be? Revelation 22:13. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. That's the Lord God. Revelation 1:17. And when I saw him, I fell down at his feet. But he said to me, but he laid his right hand upon me and he said to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. Any explanation needed? That's Revelation 1:17. Let's keep reading. Revelation 1:18. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen, says the Bible. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
That's great. Revelation 2:8. And to the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last who was dead and came back to life. Who's the first and the last? We already know it's the Lord God, the Almighty. The beginning and the end. The Alpha and the Omega. 1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. That's pretty clear. 1 Timothy 3:16. I just read it a moment ago. That God was revealed in the flesh and seen by angels, received back up into glory. Titus 2:13. That we are to be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. John 8:58. Are you okay? Are you with me? John 8:58. Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham ever was, I am. That's the Greek word, ego emi. The eternal, self-contained, forever living one. That's why the Jews picked up stones at that word right then and there. You keep reading, they picked up stones to kill him. And he said, wait a minute, what are you going to kill me for? What miracle are you going to stone me for? And they said, you can almost see them in their windup. And then Jesus says, what are you going to stone me for? For a good work? And they went, no, not for a good work. We're not going to stone you for raising somebody from the dead or anything like that. We're going to stone you because you, being a man, have declared yourself to be God. What should he say? What should he do? Jesus Christ is God the Son, Savior of the world. John 8:24. Therefore I say unto you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. John 10:32. Jesus answered and said to them, many good works have I done. Which are of my Father? Which one do you stone me? And he says there, or they responded to him, as I said a moment ago, you being a man, declare yourself to be God. Titus 2:10. Titus 2:10. Scripture says there, let us adorn ourselves with the doctrine of God, our Savior. Jude 1:24. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Don't you love that? Exceeding joy. To God, our Savior, who alone is wise. 1 Timothy 4:10. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all mankind, especially for those who believe. Who's our Savior, anybody? It's Jesus. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. You want me to keep going? You okay? Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory, I do not share with another. Then question this. Then why does God the Father encourage the worship of God the Son? Unless he is God the Son, Savior of the world. God says, I share my glory with nobody. But he sure shares it with his Son, doesn't he? He'll share it with no man, no human. Hosea 13:4, I am the Lord your God ever since the land of Egypt, and you shall know no God but me, for there is no other Savior but me only. Isaiah 45:21, tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from the beginning? Have I not I, the Lord, and there is no other God but me? A just God and Savior, there is none beside me. Isaiah 43:11, I am Yahweh the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel, which being translated means God dwells among us. Oh, this is my favorite. Proverbs 30:4. Who has ascended up into the heavens or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is the name of his son, if you can tell me? Anybody want to take a crack at it? Solomon knew about that. Solomon knew that God the Father had a son that would come to earth and die for the sins of the world, Jesus Christ, the second person of the Holy Trinity. Luke 1:30. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus. That's Greek. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. Every Jew knew exactly what that meant. The coming of God to earth in human flesh. Philippians 2:10. We're almost done. Philippians 2:10. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and those in heaven, and those on earth, and those under the earth, that is in the spirit realm, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's a revelation of Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship, our politic, is the word in Greek, is from heaven, from which we eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought there was only one Savior. There is. What's his name? Jesus Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only glorified, that's what the word begotten means, his only glorified son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. That, my friend, is the definition of Savior. It's no wonder then that Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, listen, we're going to close with this third and final verse. Allow me to run through it quickly. I know we're going a little bit over, but third point is that it's a revelation of Jesus for the heart of every man. For the heart of every man, Jesus Christ has been unveiled. Blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Three things. Jot them down, you'll be happy about it. The word's blessed. The word means happy. Happy. Happy are those because of what is written, is what he's saying. When he says here, happy are those, happy is the one who reads. It means that there's to be a gathering together. He's literally speaking about what you and I are doing right now. Let one read, let others hear. You know what it's called? It's called church. A couple weeks ago, there was some excellent worship taking place. Pretty soul-sounding worship Don was leading us through. And there was a family here, and they must have been from a certain background, and for them that song was a little Pentecostal, and they're just, you, all right, yahoo, all right, praise the Lord. And I'm like, I saw them, and I'm like, yeah, I'm trying in my whiteness to try to be hip and get into that awesome song, and I'm like, you know, stop chewing gum to try to clap right, and it was mentioned, we're having church. We're having church. Whenever this book is open, my friend, according to John, and it's read, and others hear it read, there is a blessing, and the word means happy. There's a happiness that will be bestowed. This is, by the way, one of seven Beatitudes in the book of Revelation. Blessed are those who read and hear. So all you have to do, just think, just come back next Sunday. Just sit down. Hang on. Why? Because you're going to hear it. You're going to be blessed. Something's going to happen. What a tremendous statement. The scene is timeless. It speaks of congregations since the birth of the church when they gather around the Word of God. We're having church right now, everybody. You say, well, you know, it's a tradition. We gather like this. No, it's not. It's biblical. The Bible says, don't stop coming to church. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says. Well, I didn't like how far I had to park. Then come sooner. I'm sitting too far back. Come sooner. But come. Or go. I mean, not leave, but go to some church that's teaching the Bible if you're visiting. We're to be happy about the things that are written. We are to be happy about the things that we're to do. Blessed is he who keeps those things which are written in it. What does that mean? Blessed are those who believe in the hope that it gives and what the scripture here teaches, an act of faith. And then finally this, he says, for the time is near. Happy are those who know what time it is. He said, well, Pastor, it's time for you to quit. I know it, and I'm quitting. So you can be happy. But he says here, for the time is near. The Christians to be happy about these last days. Every Christian in every generation, according to the scriptures, we look and they long for the glorious return of Jesus. Do you? Yes. Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. Has Jesus Christ seen the inside of your heart as a throne room? He's coming again. He's coming back. The time is near. Let me ask you this. The time is near. Has he seen the inside of your heart? Have you opened up your life and invited him in? The time is near, says the Bible. 2,000 years ago, it said the time is near. I would tend to suggest to you the time is nearer. But has he seen the inside of your heart?
As the age-old creed says, he will come again in power and glory to judge the living and the dead. That includes you and me. We've been listening to Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, commenting on that very declaration that the book of Revelation makes. It's all part of a study called Jesus Christ Unveiled. Study number 2 in a multifaceted series through this last book of Scripture. You know, and that's a very good reason for you to pay us a visit at www.realradioactive.org. We're just barely getting started with this series, and you'll be able to listen to a few of the past broadcasts and get caught up. www.realradioactive.org. You'll be able to download files or just listen online, and in fact become a podcast subscriber to all future programs of Real Radio. realradioactive.org. Now, if you have any other questions or for some reason you'd like to get in touch by telephone, our number is easy, 909-393-7100. 909-393-7100. And if you finally made that decision to begin supporting Real Radio, here's our address. Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, if you missed any of this information, simply pay us a visit at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is made possible by Calvary Chapel Chino Hills and your support. Until next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.